Let me ask you something. When was the last time you flew a landing that scared you a little? For most pilots I train, the honest answer is the same. It was a crosswind. The wind was blowing across the runway, the airplane was drifting sideways, and somewhere in the last 20 feet, the whole thing got away from them. I'm Pattern, and this is Traffic Pattern here on Radio Hangar. Today we're going to talk about the maneuver that shows up on every single private pilot check ride, that ends more airplanes' careers than almost anything else in the training environment, and that almost nobody feels truly confident about the crosswind landing. Let's walk through this together. Before we get into the stick and rudder, a quick word about our friends at aviationsoul.com. They make challenge coins for every step of the journey. Got your first solo? There's a coin for that. Private pilot? Instrument? Commercial? They've got you covered. And here's the thing about a crosswind landing. The day you finally grease one on in a stiff, gusty wind, that's a milestone too. That's the day the airplane stopped flying you and you started flying it. Mark the moments that matter. AviationSoul.com. All right, let's start with why this is hard, because I never want to stand here and tell you. Something is easy when it isn't. A crosswind landing is not easy. It asks you to do two things at once that feel like they're fighting each other, and it asks you to do them in the last few seconds of flight when the ground is coming up. And your instincts are screaming. Here's the physics of the problem. The wind is blowing across the runway. Your airplane flies through the air, not over the ground. So if you point the nose straight down the center line, that crosswind pushes you sideways. You drift toward the downwind edge. Left alone, you touch down moving sideways across the pavement, and an airplane is not built to touch down moving sideways. The landing gear wants to travel in the direction the wheels are pointed. When it doesn't, you get side load, you get a swerve, and in the worst case, you get a wingtip or a prop strike. So the entire game is this. You have to arrive at the runway with the airplane's path tracking straight down the center line, and the fuselage, the long axis of the airplane, aligned with the center line too. At the moment the wheels touch, track straight, point straight. Both at once. There are two ways pilots are taught to handle the crosswind on approach, and I want you to understand both, because the check ride and real life both use them. The first is the crab. On final, you turn the nose into the wind just enough that your track stays on the center line even though the nose is cocked off to one side. The airplane is flying a little sideways relative to the runway, but its path over the ground is dead straight. This is comfortable, it's coordinated, the ball is centered. It feels like normal flying because it is. The problem is you can't land like that. If you touch down crabbed, you're back to landing sideways. So at some point before the wheels touch, you have to take the crab out. The second method is the side slip. And this is the one I want to spend our time on. Because this is the one the Airman Certification Standards wants to see you hold through the flare. And it's the one that separates a pilot who's comfortable in a crosswind from one who's just hanging on. Here's the side slip, and here's something I wish someone had told me plainly when I was training. It's two controls and they do two completely different jobs. You lower the upwind wing with aileron. That's it. That's the whole reason for the bank. If the wind is coming from your left, you put in left aileron, the left wing comes down, and now the airplane has a horizontal component of lift pulling it into the wind. That sideways pull is what cancels the drift. More wind, more aileron, more bank. You use exactly as much bank as it takes to stop the drift and no more. You're not aiming for a number, you're watching the center line and stopping the sideways slide. But the instant you lower that wing, the nose wants to turn. The airplane wants to go where the low wing is pointing. If you let it, you'll be banked into the wind and turning off the runway, and now you're tracking straight, but pointed off, no good. So you feed an opposite rudder. Wind from the left, left aileron, and right rudder. The rudder does one job and one job only. It keeps the nose pointed straight down the runway. That's it. Aileron for drift, rudder for alignment. Cross-controlled. The ball is out to one side, and it's supposed to be. This is the one time in normal flying, we deliberately fly uncoordinated, and it throws student pilots every time because everything else in your training has been drilling coordination into your feet. Now here's the mistake I see more than any other, and it's right there in the title of today's segment. Pilots run out of rudder before they run out of aileron, and they blame the airplane. What actually happens is this. The wind picks up, or a gust hits, and the pilot adds more aileron to hold the drift. Good, more bank. But they don't add the matching rudder to keep the nose straight, so the nose starts to swing toward the low wing. Now they're banked, drifting is stopped, but the airplane is pointed off the center line and getting worse, and because they never think of the rudder as a separate control doing a separate job, they just keep fighting the aileron and wondering why the runway is sliding out from under the nose. Feed in the rudder, as much as it takes to keep that nose nailed to the center line. If you get to the point where the rudder pedal is on the floor all the way in and the nose is still swinging, that is the airplane telling you something. That is the demonstrated crosswind component talking. You have found the limit of what this airplane can do today, and the correct answer is not to force it. The correct answer is a go around and maybe a different runway and maybe a different airport. Let me put a real scenario on this, because that's how it clicks. You're on short final, runway 36, so you're pointed north. The wind is out of 090 out of the east at 15 knots gusting 20. That's a direct crosswind from your right. So you're going to lower the right wing with right aileron, and you're going to hold the nose straight with left rudder. You roll into the slip on about a half mile final, right wing low, left rudder, nose on the numbers, you're tracking the centerline beautifully. Then a gust hits 20 knots, now you feel the airplane start to drift left toward the downwind side. What do you do? You add right aileron. A little more bank into the wind, and the very same instant you add a touch more left rudder to keep the nose from following that wing to the right. Two hands, 2 feet, two jobs at the same time. The gust passes and settles back to 15. You relax both. A little less bank, a little less rudder. You are constantly working. A crosswind landing is not a position you set and hold. It's a conversation with the wind that never stops until the airplane is tied down. Now the flare. This is where it comes together, and where a lot of good approaches fall apart in the last 10 feet. You carry that slip all the way down, right wing low, nose straight. You round out, you start bleeding off speed. And here's the key, as the airplane slows in the flare, the controls get less effective, so the wind's effect gets relatively stronger. That means you generally need more aileron as you slow down, not less. Pilots relax at the bottom because they're focused on the flare. The bank washes out, the drift comes back, and they touch down moving sideways after a perfect approach. Keep flying it. Keep that wing down. And you touch down on the upwind main wheel first. The right main in our scenario. That's correct. That is exactly what the ACS wants to see. One wheel, the upwind one, then the other main, then the nose wheel last, with the airplane tracking and pointed straight down the center line. You do not level the wings to grease it on flat. In a real crosswind, a flat, both mains landing means you didn't have enough bank in, and you drifted. After touchdown, you're not done. This is the second half of the segment nobody practices. As you slow down on the rollout, you keep adding aileron into the wind until by the time you're at taxi speed, the yoke is full over into the wind. Right crosswind, full right aileron by the end of the rollout. Why? Because a crosswind can get under that upwind wing and lift it, and a gust can flip a light airplane on the ground, full deflection into the wind on rollout and taxi. The examiner is looking for that. It tells them you understand the wind doesn't quit just because the wheels are down. Let me give you the takeaways you can use on your very next flight, even a calm one. First, separate the controls in your mind. Say it out loud in the cockpit if you have to. Aileron stops the drift, rudder points the nose. When something goes wrong in a crosswind, ask which one is off. Am I drifting? That's aileron. Am I pointed off? That's rudder. 9 times out of 10, you'll find the rudder is the one you were neglecting. Second, go find a crosswind on purpose, with an instructor. Most of us avoid the crosswind runway. We pick the calm days, and then the wind catches us unprepared on a day we couldn't avoid it. Book an hour with a CFI on a breezy afternoon and just do crosswind patterns until the cross control feels normal. It's some of the best money you'll spend in training, and I know training is expensive. This one pays you back every landing for the rest of your flying life. Third, know your airplane's demonstrated crosswind component and treat it with respect. It's in your pilot's operating handbook. It's not a limitation, it's a value a test pilot demonstrated, but if the wind is beyond it, you have no business finding out whether you're better than that test pilot on short final in your own airplane. And fourth, decide early. The go-around in a crosswind is not a failure, it is a skilled, professional decision. And on your check ride, a well-executed go-around when the landing isn't working out will impress a good examiner far more than a forced, ugly landing you should have walked away from. Full power, pitch for climb, flaps and stages, fly the airplane, live to line up again. Here's the truth I'll leave you with. Nobody is born good at crosswinds. Every pilot you admire, every airline captain, every bush pilot, they all fought this exact fight as a student. The difference is they kept feeding in that upwind rudder until it became automatic. You will too. today's material leans on the FAA Airplane Flying Handbook and the Airman Certification Standards for the Private Pilot Certificate, and I'd encourage you to read the crosswind section of that handbook tonight. It's better than you remember. You can find more at RadioHangar.com. Go find a windy day. It's waiting for you, and so is that coin. I'm Pattern. Keep the nose straight.